You are Locked On Magic, your daily podcast on the Orlando Magic, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you're indeed Locked On Magic. Today is July 31st, 2018. My name is Philip Rosenreich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Happy to be with you here on a Tuesday for another episode. Going to talk about a few quick things here, somewhat related topics. We're going to talk a little bit about the Magic's length, and yes, they do seem to have an obsession with length, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that within the context of Jerian Grant and what he brings to the team and some of his struggles that he's had in early on in his career as he looks to get things going. But before we get into all that, I do want to remind everyone that you can check out the other great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network by checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, of course. Just search for Locked On and the team you're looking for. There's a Locked On podcast covering every single NBA team. Wanting to learn a little bit more about LeBron James's new school that's opening up, I would definitely check out Locked On Cavs. I'm sure they'll talk about it, as well as Locked On Lakers. I'm sure they will talk about it as well. You can also check out the Locked On NBA podcast for your daily NBA fix, covering the national stories with the same kind of detail that you get from your local host. There's a local Locked On podcast for every single team. In fact, special episode that I think is worth checking out. I know a lot of you watch Friday Night Lights. I binged it on Netflix. It's a fantastic show. QB1, Matt Saracen, or the actor who plays him at least, was on Locked On Bulls last week. I'm looking forward to listening to this episode. I was just on Twitter earlier. Locked On Nuggets ranked all 30 starting NBA point guards. Can't imagine DJ Augustin's very high, but there you have it. So there is a Locked On podcast, even in this dead time of the NBA calendar. There is something for everyone. There are still great conversations happening throughout the Locked On Podcast Network. So definitely give it a perusal. Check it out on Locked On with the team you're looking for on iTunes. And again, all NBA teams, most NFL teams, and a growing number of MLB teams covered on the Locked On Podcast Network. I posted my mailbag up on the website Monday. I'll probably do an episode going through some of those questions coming up a little bit later on this week, if not early next week. So we'll get into some of these issues. But what are the big questions that I got in my mailbag on that was about this penchant for drafting length. It's become a little bit of a joke among fans. Whenever the Magic acquires someone new, well, what's his wingspan? And for the most part, they are pretty impressive wingspans. It doesn't seem like Jeff Weltman and John Hammond have drafted a guy who has a wingspan that is shorter than the guy's height. And undoubtedly, with the way the Magic drafted in this draft, wingspan was definitely something they seriously consider. Take a look at Mohamed Bamba, the longest recorded wingspan in the NBA draft combine's history. Melvin Frazier had the second longest wingspan among all guards at the NBA draft combine. Justin Jackson had one of the longest wingspans among forwards or non-centers at the NBA draft combine. This was something that the team put a focus on. You look at Isaiah Briscoe, and maybe their ideas of bringing him in as a point guard are very much because of the length and size that he has, the things that you can't teach. Same thing goes for Jerian Grant, who I'll talk about a little bit at the end of the show. Finding guys with these physical attributes, with these things that you cannot teach anywhere, was important to the team and to the way the Magic want to build. So why is this important? Why does this matter? On one hand, I would agree, and there are plenty of examples, that physical attributes alone do not make a player. At some point, you got to get a guy with skill. Thus, while I like Melvin Frazier a lot, I think some confusion about taking him along with Wesa Wandu, two guys who have a lot of defensive skill and a lot of the physical attributes that you're looking for, but don't necessarily have the basketball skills to make an impact immediately. Bamba still trades a lot on his athleticism and his length, not so much on positioning and skill. Those are things that he'll have to learn. And there are countless examples of guys who seemingly have everything you want physically in a player. Wingspan, athleticism, all those things, and can't seem to put it all together. At that point, it's just about faith in your development system. So wingspan alone isn't going to solve many problems. It isn't going to solve every problem that the Magic have. Certainly, the Magic have a lack of shooting right now. And even Rob Hennigan had this focus on getting defensive grinders. That at some point, you got to be able to make shots. And I think at some point, the Magic will begin drafting or looking for guys to fill needs and fill skills. But for now, what they're looking for are the attributes that they can really build a culture and an identity around. During Summer League, though, we saw exactly what this length and athleticism can do. Up on OrlandoMagicDaily.com, on a post that I wrote last week, I talked a little bit about what this does. And if you want to, go YouTube. Go look up that play where Jonathan Isaac and Mohamed Bamba blocked the shot of Jaren Jackson Jr., the infamous Summer League double block. That play was built because Isaac and Bamba are such athletic, are such physical freaks that they have that massive wingspan. In fact, Isaac is out of position for much of that play. He recovers to make that block. That's point one about length. It's not only the ability to change, point one, I guess, would be the ability to change shots and change shot angles to make them more difficult. Something the Magic haven't been able to do, you know, maybe because of Nikola Vucevic, maybe not. But that is something that the Magic now have with Isaac clogging passing lanes, making passes harder to make in the interior. Mohamed Bamba protecting the rim. They have some of these things now. The second thing is the ability to recover, the ability to get back and make up for mistakes. Remember late last year, Jonathan Isaac told, I believe it was Slam Magazine, that he found defense in the NBA pretty easy, which is a pretty stunning statement to say from a rookie. But when you watch Isaac play, it's hard to argue with him. He had a natural instinct for defense, and it still looked like he was kind of out there with his head cut off, so to speak. But Isaac had the instincts and the know-how and the IQ and the physical ability to catch up when he made mistakes. And Isaac made plenty of mistakes, but they were hidden because he could clean up his mess. That's something else length provides. But the one thing that I think length provides as much as anything is the ability to disrupt offenses in the very simple things that they do. And when we look back and think about Summer League at the beginning of this month, it wasn't about wins and losses. I know there was still there's a segment that are like, why didn't the Magic try and win these games? Why didn't the Magic try and win this tournament? And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. That's probably another argument for another day. But it became clear to me as I watched that team and saw how they were constructed without great shooting, the real goal was to establish a defensive identity, was to begin the basis of their defense. And again, go back and watch that play, that Mohamed Bamba, Jonathan Isaac play, the whole play, not just the block. The play really starts with Isaiah Briscoe and Jonathan Isaac getting engaged in a pick and roll. Isaac's guarding Jaren Jackson, Briscoe's guarding the guard. I forget who it was. It was probably Kobe Simmons. And as Simmons is coming around the Jackson screen, and Briscoe's a big guy already, and that's difficult in and of itself, Isaac shows. And because Isaac is so big and long, and Briscoe's so big and long, it forces Simmons off his desired path. From there, as he tries to throw it back to Jaren Jackson, he's got to throw it over Jonathan Isaac. And somewhat over Isaiah Briscoe. So this whole play starts with sort of a hurried, rushed pass, not to an open man, or not to where the open man is. Jackson, when he receives the ball, has to adjust. Adding to the difficulty, Jonathan Isaac deflects that pass, forcing Jackson to start further away from the basket. Now, Isaac is out of position when Jackson catches the ball. There is an open lane in front of Jaren Jackson Jr., and he rightly tries to take it. He gathers the ball as Isaac is still recovering and shifting over and heads to the lane. But because he had to start so far away from the basket, because Isaac, again, has the length and the ability, and Bamba is standing there to challenge the shot and cut off the penetration when he gets to him, Isaac's able to recover and make at least what was officially recorded as a Jonathan Isaac block. I remember specifically from that Memphis game making this point and thinking about it very hard here. It just felt like the way the Magic were playing that game, and I would say to some extent in the Brooklyn game as well, they were putting so much pressure on ball handlers, on passers, that you would see that phenomenon often, where in order for a player to kick the ball out, in order for a player to reverse the ball or make the next pass, they had to start further away from the basket, or they were forced further away from the basket, because the Magic were able to close down passing lanes. To create a passing lane, the Grizzlies had to be in a disadvantageous position where the Magic could recover, where the Magic could swipe at the ball a little bit. And that's a credit to Melvin Frazier. That's a credit to Isaiah Briscoe. That's a credit to Wes Iwundu. That's a credit to Mo Bamba. That's a credit to Jonathan Isaac. With the length that the Magic had on the floor that night, they were able to really make Memphis work hard to make the simple plays. Now, Summer League is not the regular season. Kobe Simmons is not Mike Conley. But the same principle, the same idea, I think is something that John Hammond and Jeff Weltman are trying to build within this team. They are trying to get multi-positional, versatile, long players to disrupt that offense, to disrupt the basics of what you are trying to run. It's very similar to how I think the Celtics tried to defend the Cavaliers and how the Rockets tried to defend the Warriors. And even the Sixers, to a certain extent, tried to do this against the Celtics. The idea of the switching defenses is to simply make the basic actions that you're trying to do harder to do. You run a pick and roll to create indecision within the defense. If the defense just switches, the advantage of that roll man, of that pick, are gone. That indecision's gone. And now you're stuck with essentially an isolation play. And if you have a versatile defensive-minded big, like a Al Horford, who's a great defensive center, or you know Clint Capella can do it for a little bit, or Draymond Green, if you're left with that matchup, it now becomes a one-on-one game. And that is in the defense's advantage for the most part. Because you're not committing extra guys, you're not giving up three-point shots. That's the idea the Magic are going after here as well. It's not just length to disrupt outlet passes so you can recover and contest and force the team out of its comfort zone. It's really about that disruption. That unexpected moment where now it's just a one-on-one game. And again, one-on-one games typically favor the defense in some respect. Especially if you have someone that can guard down his down position. This is the power of the length that the Magic are going after. This is the idea, the ideal of what the team is chasing with their play here. We'll see if it works in the regular season. Evan Fournier, not the longest guy. DJ Augustin, not the longest guy. It's not going to be perfect this year. The defense is going to look a little bit different than it did in Summer League. But clearly, length has its advantages. And clearly, Orlando is finding ways to take advantage of the length that they have. And one player that I think really fits into this idea and into this notion of length and why I think the Magic ultimately did acquire him and made that deal that they made with Charlotte and Chicago is Jerian Grant. Jerian Grant, in a previous lifetime, probably would have been called a tweener. And a tweener in this day and age is more about your position is more about who you can defend than rather than who you can play offensively. But Jerian Grant was sort of a hybrid 1-2 in college. He was the main ball handler for most of the time. There was a few other guys that also handled the ball, but it was mostly Jerian Grant's show. And in college, he was a great driver and kicker. great drivers, able to get to the basket and finish, great passer, great assists. That has not quite translated to the NBA, and it's been one of the bigger frustrations, I think, for him. Without a consistent three-point shot, without consistent shooting, he's struggled a bit offensively. And in fact, I would argue that last year, his first time playing more than 20 minutes per game, was the first season where he really had a defined role. Averaging around 8 points per game, shooting at, I think, 47, 48% effective field goal percentage, it wasn't a bad effort. It wasn't a bad season. But it's not necessarily a good one either. It's not necessarily to say that Jerian Grant is going to come in and automatically be the starter. This is a contract year for Jerian Grant. This is a season where he has to prove what he can do in the NBA. And Orlando, I think, is a good place for him to do it. Orlando is going to give him the role, give him the opportunity. And again, I think he fits what this team wants to do. But it's difficult to be a versatile point guard. It's easy to say, oh, you're a 3-4. You can play either forward position. You can scale up to the 5 if need be. Or you're a 2-3, you're a wing. The point guard position isn't really one where you get a lot of versatile guys, especially at his height. It's a tough spot, really. And Grant has had his struggles to really grasp the finer points of playing point guard in the NBA and to find his niche and find his spot in the NBA. He entered the league as an older player, having been at Notre Dame for 5 years after redshirting a year. He had solid production all 4 playing years in South Bend. But Grant has never quite gotten all the way there. When you watch Grant at his best, he looks very similar to Victor Oladipo, I must say. Able to get to the rim, finish around the basket, use his length and his height to see over defenders and make some pretty impressive passes. It's a mystery why it hasn't been consistent. And maybe it's system. Maybe it's inconsistent playing time. He was drafted to the Knicks, or went to the Knicks his rookie year, traded to Chicago. And really last year, again, his first real role. This is another new team for him, all in a big year. And so I can't sit here and tell you what to expect from Jerian Grant. I want to say that he'll make that next step. But I can't really say that. I want to say that he has the size and the profile the Magic want. I think he does. But the skill doesn't quite match it. And so I can't say that he's going to do more than be the backup point guard. It's just hard to pin down what to make of him. He'll have a run this season, I have no doubt, where he is making a ton of shots, and you're like, he needs to be the starter. He's the best point guard on the roster. Consistency matters, though. And that's been what's eluded Jerian Grant for much of his career so far. If Jerian Grant plays well, he is the kind of point guard the Magic want. Solid driver and creator. Good enough shooter, long, athletic, and you hope in a better system, more defensive-minded as well. I think that's been one of the bigger disappointments of his career, is that despite, you know, he's 6'4" with a 6'7" and a quarter wingspan, his defense should be a lot better than it is. And figuring out how to unlock that talent, it's clearly a talented player, how to unlock that talent is going to be the trick for Steve Clifford and his staff here. But Grant has a lot of promise because of that profile, because of what we know he can do. And the Magic are going to be the team that gives him maybe a chance to do so. That's going to do it for me today on Locked On Magic. I want to thank you all again for listening. You, of course, find us on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Magic. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all the fun places you download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. You can find me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_MD. And of course, for the latest on the Orlando Magic, including that Orlando Magic Daily mailbag where I answer all of your Orlando Magic questions, be sure to check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. And of course, follow us on Twitter at @OMagicDaily. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode for Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic. This has been Philip Rossenreich. I will see you all again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.